fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Wednesday, the 7th of March. Prep tip of the day. I want to encourage all of you to maintain your situational awareness, work on it, improve on it, and your situational awareness. It may be a good thing that will help you and help everybody that you know and love. Okay, this has become our regular feature, the second hour on Wednesdays, this regular feature being my friend Jeff Nyquist. And we talk about geopolitical matters. We talk about the international communist conspiracy, which has been around since before 1917, but 1917 is when it really took off with the takeover of Russia by the international communist conspiracy. We have these conversations with my friend Jeff Nyquist, and we're ready to go here. The call number, if you got a question for Jeff, is 800-313-9443. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, John.
Well, sir, the international scene continues to move forward with all the nuances that are contrived to make things appear something they're not, aren't they?
Yes, that's true. It's very interesting to see how this Russia-Trump thing advances, and it's also very interesting to see how the media gets it wrong again and again. And the American people, I was working on a paper with a Romanian researcher for a group in Europe, and we got a Romanian minister to give us his opinion about things. And he, in fact, said something similar to what I said. He said, people in the West don't understand how the Russians work. And this goes back in Russian history a long time, where they play both sides. We in the West, we think there's only 2 sides, but the Russians think they can win by playing both sides. And it's very hard for us to understand this game. And of course, this is where you get Russian agents pretending to be anti-Russian. This is where you have Putin at the same time pretends to be pro-Muslim, okay? And you can find those pronouncements, go on the Internet, and then he pretends to be a defender of the West against Islam. And you say, well, how can he get away with it? It's because well, we don't pay attention that closely to everything they say. We kind of hear what we want to hear. And a lot of the strategy that the Russians use depend on that, on human nature, on our desire to hear what we want to hear. And it's true in America. They've also conditioned us through our media. The number of communist and Russian agents, the Russians use the communists, the Russians try to use the right, the Russians use Islam, the Russians have infiltrated the churches. You see how they pop up everywhere. And it's something we don't understand, that and your thinking can be manipulated, and manipulating conservative thinking is very important for the Russians. It always has been.
And they have their own style of manipulation, I agree. Now, my understanding, Jeff, and you may have some follow-up on this, is that the Russian intelligence services infiltrated by use of money, primarily, Muslim Masadras, I think they call them, the schools that teach young men to become imams. They infiltrated them in the late 60s, early 70s to institute a program of hatred of the West. All right, do you have any knowledge or follow-up on that?
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been working on that, actually, in the last few weeks. It's very true. This goes way back to the Russian Civil War. You know, Lenin's second pronouncement after taking power was addressed to the Muslim toilers. And he basically said, and this was the belief at the time, that Muslims made up a very important subgroup, fighting against imperialism. And they believed that Muslims, because they lived in the world that the British and the French dominated colonially, that they were going to mobilize the Muslims as allies, and they were going to infiltrate them and make friends with them. The Muslims in Central Asia who opposed the Tsar, very quickly most of them joined the Reds. They joined the communists, and they attacked the bourgeois Muslims. You know, Muslim countries are very poor, so they're ready for communism. They're ready for a doctrine which practices supposedly what the Quran preaches, which is equality. So Islam has been an area where the Russians could move faster, where a liberation form of theology could operate. And also, with the rampant homosexuality in some of the Muslim countries, the opportunities for blackmail and pedophilia and the use of these techniques to further the cause, so to speak, among Muslims was also used. So, yeah, the infiltration of Pakistan, Afghanistan, all these countries, really was very advanced long before even, you know, recent years.
Well, that's some good follow-up there, Jeff. I wasn't aware of that history going back another half century before my awareness of around 1969, 1970. And that certainly adds fuel to the fire to show how deep and how far back this goes.
Yeah, and of course, international
Jeff,
terrorism.
Oh,
as
go ahead.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
International terrorism as a phenomenon, as a global phenomenon, airline hijacking and bombings and things like this, this popped up in the 1960s. And you'll notice that communists like the Cubans and communist trained Arabs who aren't really Islamists, like the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, who were trained in Russia, were trained by the Russians. They were like the people who spearheaded the terrorism. And the Russians really were the organizers of global terrorism. And it was part of Russia's strategy to create terrorism. Airline hijacking as a terrorist method was invented by a KGB general in Moscow in 1960. But, of course, it was implemented later in the 1960s. And, of course, use of organized crime and opium trafficking, which is really an important component of the Afghan, you know, thing. Afghanistan isn't important because it has oil, which it really doesn't have. It's important because it has opium. And the trade in opium was very important to the Russians going back to 1960. And of course, the Muslim world, of course, is important in general because of the large numbers of people and the large numbers of countries that are Muslim.
Right, right. Well, Jeff, when I was a young man, young adult, 18 years old, if I wanted to board an airplane with a firearm, I would simply carry the firearm onto the plane in a pistol case or a rifle or shotgun case, hand it to the stewardess. We didn't have any homosexual flight attendants at the time, men. And then the stewardess would take it, put it in the cockpit for the duration of flight. And when the flight was over, I would have the stewardess recover my firearm from the cockpit, and I would deplane. You tell this to a youngster now, they look at you like you got two heads, but that's the way it was, wasn't it, Jeff?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that have changed, and you make a good point, because a terrorist attack can achieve many things. It can divide a society, and it can also cause the society to change its laws. It can change its national habits and even its way of thinking. So, and that can help shape them in a way that is helpful to the communists.
Well, destroying culture and destroying beliefs. My understanding, Jeff, when the when Mao Zedong took over China, he spent the first several years not attempting to teach anything about Marxism or communism, but the first 4 or 5 years focusing on Darwinian evolutionary theory to break the traditional Chinese beliefs and religious practices, didn't he?
Yes, in fact, he was so much opposed to traditional Chinese teachings that he boasted at one point that the first Chinese emperor, the first Qin emperor, killed 10,000 Confucian scholars, and we've killed 100,000, so he's nothing compared to us. So it was, yes, indeed, to destroy Chinese tradition, which is very, Chinese tradition is mystical. They refer to God, so to speak, in their various traditions. You know, the mandate of heaven is sort of like the will of God.
Right.
And so they have their own idea of the divine in China, and destroying that was part of Mao's game. Of course, the communists are destroyers. They, you know, what is more valuable that humans have than their heritage, than their religious understandings and their relationship with God? And then to destroy that is that they go after that first in every subtle way they can is very interesting.
Well, it is, and that's exactly how they operate. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've got a question or comment for Jeff Nyquist, give us a call at 800-313-9443. We've talked previously, Jeff, about how the communists infiltrated and took over the schools that teach the teachers, but they also took over the schools that teach the artists. And since World War II, we've seen art become basically nonsensical globs of paint and sculptures that make no sense. Here in St. Louis, where my hometown, there's a sculpture park that if there is a construction project taking place in the park, you might be walking through and can't tell the difference between construction debris and what's supposed to be a work of art, Jeff.
Yeah, well, that goes to the kind of nihilism that communism produces. You know, the technical name for communism is called dialectical materialism. It's also called scientific socialism, and it's atheistic. It's very atheistic. And, of course, if there is no spiritual truth, if there's only matter, you know, materialism, and spirit doesn't exist, that's a pretty bleak view, because you're basically saying that human consciousness is not really real. But the only thing that's real is, you know, like the floor and the ceiling and the four walls and any objects that might be in the room. That is very nihilistic, because it's really quite the opposite. What's important is consciousness, human consciousness. It's the center of the focus of existence, is consciousness itself. And to to negate that, to claim that objects are important, that things are more important than people or the spirit, is you could almost not think of something more destructive to human self-worth and to culture and to the idea of meaning. You know, I saw Jordan Peterson very cleverly. He said, you know, I'm no longer a materialist. Jordan Peterson, the Canadian psychologist, and he said because matter doesn't matter, meaning matters. He said, and he said it's the pattern in matter, it's the intelligence in matter, that's where meaning comes from, and that is the evidence of the spiritual. That's the evidence of mind, of the existence of the psyche, of the this is what communism negates. It negates the individual human being. It negates spiritual experience. It negates that we aren't material beings. We are spiritual material beings.
Right. Well, the philosophy that's been in place in Russia for a century now, would that philosophy be largely responsible for most of the adult males in that country being alcoholics who don't get married, don't make babies, and have very little zest for life in the normal sense of the word in the West?
Yes, absolutely right. That's a very good point. And, of course, this is going to happen to us. It's already begun to happen to us with the atheistic education. Women and men are being demoralized. Society's being demoralized. You know, think about that word, demoralized. You know, and of course, what you're describing with all those alcoholic men in Russia is men who are demoralized. And just look at the United States. What is feminism, radical feminism, calculated to do? It's calculated to demoralize. What is homosexual marriage calculated to do? It's calculated to demoralize normal marriage. To change the meaning of words in sinister ways, like the word marriage, which in my grandfather's dictionary meant the union of male and female, to change that to the union of what and what. You know, it's demoralization. This is nihilism. It's not, you know, anti-homosexual to say this. It's merely acknowledging the truth of language and meaning. A homosexual couple can't have children. They cannot create new life. And that's got to be very, very important fact. It's got to be. The fact that we have to recreate ourselves every generation, or there's no humans left on Earth, has got to be one of the most important things, the facts that we need to acknowledge. And we have a whole society that acts like, well, that doesn't matter. When it was one of the most important things, yeah.
I got a homework assignment for you, if you haven't done this already. It was a motion picture, a Hollywood motion picture. Your homework assignment is to watch this film. The title is one word, Idiocracy.
Oh.
Have you seen it?
Yes, I have seen. I've seen that one, yes.
Uh-huh. Well, then you don't need to watch it. You've already seen it. But the consequences of providing financial incentives for the less intelligent, not unproductive people to have lots of babies, while providing disincentives for the intelligent, productive people to not have babies. Did I get this right? Yeah, I think I did. The consequences of that over several generations are absolutely disastrous to any society, aren't they?
Yeah, well, anybody who's smart now knows that, you know, if you're a guy, getting married is really dangerous. Because with no-fault divorce, you can end up, I mean, according to the Constitution, you can't be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process. But the family courts do that every day.
They do.
Fathers and mothers.
I was in the legal system when that all began back in 1972, 73. It dramatically changed our entire culture overnight. Here's our break. Stay tuned.
We Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Are you spiritually and mentally armed and ready for the battle ahead? Don't miss Hear the Watchman Dallas 2018, March 23rd through the 25th at the Hilton Dallas Fort Worth Lakes Executive Conference Center. Join the remnant body of Christ at this powerful, life-changing event. Activate your faith and join 18 prophetic teachers of truth, including L.A. Marzulli, Pastor Paul Begley, Dr. Donna Mary Colbert, along with this year's special guest, prophetic prayer walker Henry Groover. The time is now to gain ground and make history as we approach turbulent times. Get baptized, get trained, be freed of strongholds that bind you. You will be empowered, you will be blessed. This could be the most important weekend of your life. Join God's army in 2018. Visit hearthewatchman.com to reserve your seat today. This event will sell out. Go to hearthewatchman.com and make your reservation. And in the end, Jesus wins.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. It's taken 3 years before I could offer the Intershelter domes for sale. During those 3 years, several different governments and militaries were taking all their production. The Intershelter Dome homes may be just what you've been looking for to provide affordable, energy-efficient, permanent, and attractive housing. These dome homes are prefabricated units that can be assembled in a few hours by two men with a ladder and simple hand tools. Check out the photos of these dome homes built in the Arctic, on tropical beaches, in suburban areas, and in forests. All the details, many photographs, and the pricing of the dome homes are listed on the left-hand side of my homepage at thelibertyman.com. I think you'll find these homes are not only attractive, but they're energy efficient and a bonus. You can disassemble them and reassemble them as many times as you feel you need the need to. Pretty great, huh? Something that's very, very unique. Check them out at my website at thelibertyman.com.
J.R. Moore here on Wednesday, the 7th of March. My website is thelibertyman.com. If you plan on attending the Hear the Watchman conference in Dallas, you want a discount on the tickets, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Scroll down to the Hear the Watchman banner to get your promotion code for the discount to attend the conference. I look forward to seeing a lot of you there. Visiting with Jeff Nyquist. His website is jrnyquist.com. There's a link on my links page at thelibertyman.com. Jeff, I want to do a segue here. It's only been about almost 2 years ago when all this controversy about Civil War battle monuments came up. I started looking and doing a little research to the Civil War, which wasn't a Civil War, of course. But my understanding is that there were several high-level appointees in the Lincoln administration who had been part of the communist coup attempt in Germany in the 1840s. What's your knowledge of this, if anything, sir?
Well, yeah, the 1848 revolution was one in which Karl Marx had dreamed of taking over Germany and becoming dictator of Germany. And, of course, there were a lot of people who organized for that. And, of course, they a lot of them had to leave, like Karl Marx did. Karl Marx ended up living in London, England. But a lot of them left to come to America. And some of them even became Civil War generals and entered politics. And so there was an influx from Germany and of communists at that time. And that's kind of where we got our indigenous, our first a wave of indigenous communist immigrants, it's true. And, of course, they saw abolitionism and the Civil War as a kind of a gateway for introducing more radical ideas at the time.
Now, Jeff, would it be a fair statement to say that almost no American adults have knowledge of what you and I are talking about right now?
Well, it's just they don't know the history of communism, so they don't know. But, I mean, as far as the Civil War, it doesn't mean that, you know, slavery was right or anything like that. You know, to say this, the fact that communists, you know, like communists got involved in the civil rights movement, and they're very influential in the black community. Part of the demagogy of communism is that it appeals to people who have been oppressed or wronged in the past, and it tries to win them over to a cause that's more wrong and more oppressive. And, you know, where society is, you know, been evolving, you know, at least American society has been evolving to righting wrongs and making, you know, following those principles of the founders. You know, the founders of the country, they were committed to eventually repealing slavery. And this right. was George Washington freed his slaves. A lot of people don't know that. And there was a core group in the South that wanted to build an ideology around slavery and build an empire around slavery. And this caused conflict. And, of course, the communists always appear wherever there is conflict and try right. to take advantage, try to insert themselves and take advantage of that conflict.
Exactly. We got a caller on hold here, Jeff. We got Linda in Ohio. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. I have a question that's sort of off topic, but my friend and I got into a discussion, friendly, about Edward Snowden. And quite frankly, she saw the movie, and I didn't. But I don't recall whether he was regarded as a hero or a traitor. Or in between. Could you respond to that? And I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, thank you, Linda.
Whether you mean Oliver Stone's movie about Snowden?
We assume so. She's already hung up, right?
Yeah, I assume so. I haven't seen the movie. I saw Oliver Stone interviewed on Russian television by Vladimir Posner, of all people, about it. I have seen Snowden interviewed. It's hard to evaluate Snowden. He went to Russia. First he met with the Chinese and the Russians, then I believe he met with them in Hong Kong. Am I remembering that right, John?
I believe so.
And
yes. And
then he fled to Russia, where he now lives in Russia. Now, that as a sworn, you know, someone who takes an oath of allegiance to the United States in its constitution and who is a holder of secrets, to go to our enemies. You know, if people could say, oh, he's a hero, he wanted to, you know, talk about the government doing bad things. Well, yeah, then he should have gone to the American people. He should have gone to the press, not to the enemies of the American people. And this is what makes many of us regard him as a traitor. A person who holds secrets, who works at the National Security Agency as a contractor, should not be going to China, should not be going to Russia, should not be... You know, what is he going there for? If he's not revealing secrets, what is that? What is the meaning of that? If he's not revealing secrets, so that's not right, and it is treason what he did.
Jeff, hold that thought. Naive, hold that thought. Jeff, yeah. Hold that thought. We got about an hour break. Call number is 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.com. www.thepublicmedia.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We're continuing our Energy Cleaner promotion, which began August of 2016. In this promotion, you get to buy an Energy Cleaner $70 off retail and a mattress pad 10% off retail. $200 of the purchase price of the Energy Cleaner goes to Republic Broadcasting. This is a great way to help get Energy Cleaners out to people who need them and have some financial issues to deal with. And, of course, a great way to support Republic Broadcasting. Here's what you do. Send in a postcard. My address is John Moore, P.O. Box 201, Davidsville, Missouri. We pick a postcard every 2 weeks. If your postcard is drawn, you get the chance to buy the Energy Cleaner $70 off retail and 10% off the mattress pads. Put your name and your address, your telephone number and your email address on the postcard, and we wish you the best of luck. Thank you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. J.R. Moore here on Wednesday, the 7th of March. My website is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Our list of movies and TV shows with images of continents with coastlines, new coastlines, continues to grow. We have our first image of 2018 posted already. If you find one yourself, get that screen capture to me. You get your choice of any of my five DVDs as a thank you. Also, of course, is my home business, Energy Cleaners. Now that we're dealing with the stage 4 breast cancer with my wife, we have unexpected expenses. So it's more important than ever that I sell Energy Cleaners. It's more important than ever that you get one for yourself. It's a win-win situation. You get your life back, and I help out with the family finances here to get the things that we need to get done here for my wife. The Energy Cleaner is listed for sale at my website. If you got arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, it will probably help. Not sleeping well, that's when you heal. You need to sleep well. It will help with that also. Only $285 shipping included to American zip codes. I do take PayPal, MasterCard, Visa. You can send me a check if you need to. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. My toll-free order line, here it is, 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543.
9543. Visiting with Jeff Nyquist. His website's linked on my links page at thelibertyman.com. We are taking your questions, calls, and comments at 800-313-9443. Jeff, we got a couple of calls on hold here. First, we have John in Texas. Good morning, John.
Hello, Mr. Nyquist. I understand that Marxist philosophy derives much of its basis from Hegel and his dialectical philosophy. What do you know about Hegel? What was his background, and how does he figure into the history of Marxism?
Well, Hegel was not a materialist. Yeah, Hegel was not a materialist like Marx. So Marx claimed that he had turned Hegel right side up by making Hegel's dialectic about materialism. But Hegel's philosophy is quite hard to understand, and Hegel believes that history is the dialectical movement of spirit through history. And of course, this involves very old concepts going back to Heraclitus. Heraclitus, who Karl Marx wrote, I believe, his doctoral thesis on. Heraclitus was the Greek philosopher who said that the one constant in the universe is change, and he had a theory about what is called enantiodroma, or what we would call enantiodromia, which is that things become their opposites. They change into their opposites. And Marx, I would say originally Hegel took that idea and noticed in history there was a dialectical movement of spirit in history where you had an idea, then something against that idea, and then you had something new coming from the conflict of those ideas. That's basically Hegel's idea. And Hegel's notion was that freedom, the desire for freedom or a more perfect society would get you there. And, of course, Hegel's end society is that the perfect form of society was, of course, the Prussian monarchy of the 19th century was the perfect form to which history had always been moving. So this is kind of different from Marx in that Marx wanted to overthrow capitalism and all monarchies. So,
and what was, I understand that Hegel was deeply involved with mesmerism and all kinds of mysticism. I think wasn't he a Freemason?
I don't know whether he was a Freemason, but it wouldn't have been uncommon in those days for someone who was an intellectual like that to deal with those things. So, yeah, I don't really know the answer to that question.
Anything else, John? We need to move on here soon. Go ahead.
Well, see, how is Germany, about Germany, it's always been central to the communist plan to dominate Europe since the Bolshevik Revolution, correct?
Yes, that's true. Well, it was because Germany is the largest, in terms of Central and Western Europe, it's the largest country in terms of population, and it had industrialized. It was the most industrialized country in Europe, so it was the most advanced, you could say, country in Europe, on the continent of Europe. Britain, of course, was very heavily industrialized first, but that's why Germany was very important to the communists.
But Lenin, after he took over, he took over Russia with the help of the German of Erich Ludendorff, the chief of the.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, that's right. The Germans supported the revolution in Russia because they wanted Russia out of World War I. Germany was stuck in World War I in a two-fronted war, so having a revolution in Russia would get Germany out of the trouble of a two-fronted war because they made a deal with the revolutionaries that if they supported them, they would make a peace treaty with Germany that would be to Germany's advantage. And that's what Lenin did. It was called the Treaty of Brest-Litovsk. And that was the treaty in which Lenin gave up a lot of Russian territory to Germany and allowed, for the first time, an independent Ukraine to be formed.
But his instructions were, did they just sign anything? He said the coming revolution in Germany will invalidate any treaty. So what do you?
Lenin correctly predicted that the Kaiser would be overthrown, yes.
So he thought it was just a temporary sort of truce until he could get support from the Germans to overthrow the white, doing his white opposition, and even was allowed to conscript German and Austrian prisoners of war into the Red Army, wasn't he, to fight against the whites.
Well, there were Austrian and German prisoners who fought for the whites. So like the Czech Legion, joined the whites. They were a legion of Czech prisoners who had fought for the Austrians, who ended up fighting for the whites. Yeah, now you're getting into the Russian Civil War, which is a very complicated piece of history. But yes, the Kaiser thought that Lenin was his puppet, because all he had to do was expose that Lenin had been supported by him, and Lenin thought the Kaiser was dead because the Kaiser was going to be overthrown. And it turned out of the two, the Kaiser was wrong and Lenin was right. The Kaiser was never able to play his game against Lenin eventually.
Mm-hmm. I understand that the Bolsheviks actually helped rearm the Germans in a subversive maneuver against the Treaty of Versailles. They allowed them to train pilots on Soviet territory, and they allowed them to train officers in modern warfare in exchange for economic aid. They allowed the Reichswehr to rebuild, to circumvent the Treaty of Versailles by training on Russian soil pilots, and eventually what it was that Lenin was going to eventually use Germany to start a second imperialist war that would allow, use Germany as an icebreaker to break open the Bolshevik Revolution and eventually take over Europe. And that was the real impetus of the second.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, Lenin talked about, they called the First World War the First Imperialist War, and then they foresaw that another war would happen and Germany could be the instigator of it. And yes, that's correct. Stalin referred to Hitler as the icebreaker of the revolution, that they were going to use Hitler. That is correct.
Okay, John, we've covered your questions, I think, enough for this week, and why don't you call back next week with some more? Okay,
all right,
we need to move on.
Okay.
We need to move on. Thank you, John, we appreciate it. Next we go to Mike in Idaho. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, John. Jeff, how are you guys doing?
Good. What's in your mind,
okay,
sir?
Okay.
Let's get back to our government. When you were talking about the PLO being trained by Russia, it brings back the old statement. I can't remember who made it, John, you might, that they would take over our country without ever firing a shot from within. Well, when Obama took over the presidency, and I read the report, but I didn't dig into the transcripts to make sure. Before, you couldn't get Obama's college transcripts. I got Michelle Obama's, but I didn't get his. But they said that his time in Berkeley was paid for by the PLO. Now, that seemed like that might be mingling within our government right there, wouldn't you think?
If that's true, that would be extremely important information. Jeff, you got any knowledge of this?
Obama didn't go to Berkeley. He went to Occidental, and then he went to Columbia. And then, of course,
I thought it was Berkeley, but it might have been Occidental. But the report, I didn't verify it, so I'm just saying I've read it,
right.
What I got, and it had said that they had discovered that it was funded by the PLO at that point.
There was somebody, I'm not remembering his name. He was a Saudi, a rich Saudi individual who is, some have nicknamed him the Red Sheikh, who paid for Obama's education. He's one of those people who's been arrested in Saudi Arabia and has had his wealth taken away in the in the recent reorganization of Saudi Arabia. They've been going after these red sheikhs in Saudi Arabia. A lot of people don't know, but the Russians recognized a long time ago that they had friends in the Muslim world and that they were going to make friends in Saudi Arabia, in all the different Arab countries. And a number of these figures, a number of figures in that country developed relationships with Russia. And in fact, at the Katahan Institute, which is a Russian think tank in Russia, run by Duganites, people who are followers of Alexander Dugan, they wrote a piece about this. If you go to the website of the Katahan Institute, you'll find it. It's the article's called Red Pashas. And I recommend everybody to read it. Yeah. Yeah. So you know what I'm talking about. But yeah, it was a communist Islamist that was helping Obama in his education.
Okay, so the fact that the fellow was trained in Russia, it could be, but with all the things that are going on with Russia now towards trying to influence our elections and things, it seems like they've been trying to mingle with it, and that statement of taking over our country without ever firing a shot is kind of coming true at this point from internally.
Well, when Obama,
if we prove
elected,
that they actually have been messing with our elections.
They mess with us in all kinds of ways. More importantly, they mess with our thinking. So that you have, you know, the left and the right both think about this problem in the wrong way. And that helps them, yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah, if you can change sway somebody's way of thinking or just put a question in their mind, then they're not sure about themselves anymore, sure. I appreciate that answer because I'm always curious about if the PLO actually had some involvement in there.
It was a red sheikh from Saudi Arabia that financed Obama's education.
Okay, well, that's still not good.
Obviously.
All right, well, I appreciate it. John, Jeff, Mike, I appreciate all the information you guys are providing, and people need to hear it.
Appreciate the call, Mike. Thank you. The call number is 800. Thank you, sir. Call number is 800-313-9443. The communists are insidious. At multiple levels in education, labor unions, politics, finance, military. Jeff, I don't know if I ever mentioned to you, but a gentleman I know was in charge of security for the B-1 bomber program with Rockwell International, and he was told that there would be a delegation of Chinese military people visiting the plant on a weekend. And he was to extend every courtesy to these men, allow them full access to everything, including taking photographs and video. And his response was, why am I here? Why do you even employ me? Keep homeless people out? Why do I even have this job? And he resigned shortly after that, of course.
Yeah. And that would have been under the Reagan administration, huh? Or was it under Reagan? I would have guessed.
It would have been the late 1980s, early 1990s, along in there. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's the problem is we regarded China as an ally, and this, again, was one of the double games that the Chinese like to play with us and the Russians play. They pretended to be enemies, and they exaggerated the differences between the Soviet Union and Communist China in order to get us to come in and industrialize China. We are responsible for making China into a superpower. And we would have never done it if we thought that they were aligned with Russia. But now we find that the Russians and Chinese are firmly behind North Korea, and both are saying they will go to war with us as allies if we try to stop North Korea from developing weapons that can destroy American cities.
Yes, yes. Well, the growth of China has been phenomenal. I've told this story a number of times. I remember reading in the Wall Street Journal, it may have been the New York Times, but I believe the Wall Street Journal would have been about 1972, a story about the first privately owned motor vehicle in the entire country of China. That's what the article was about. Now, that's only, 46 years ago that the first person purchased the first privately owned vehicle. It was a 2-ton flatbed truck, by the way, and he had to get permission from the local communist control group and agree to transport his neighbors if they needed transportation before he could make that purchase. That's only 46 years ago. Look how far they've come in these 46 years.
Yeah, that's very interesting. It is because a lot of people don't understand that according to communist theory, it is perfectly okay to adopt state capitalism if you are moving from the state of feudalism and, you know, if you need to pass through the capitalist stage to reach communism. And this is what both the Soviet Union and China have done. And so they justify the capitalism in the country as part of their communist program.
Amazing. We have a couple of callers on hold. We're quickly running out of time, so we need to get to these callers. After the break, we've got two callers and just about 3 minutes. It's going to be interesting. Stay tuned.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by...
All right, we are back with our final segment here with Jeff Nyquist on Wednesday, the 7th of March. Our next caller is Glenn in Philadelphia. Good morning, Glenn.
Good
morning, Jeff. Real quickly, I know you're short on time, so I'll be quick. When I think of Russia, Germany, and America in the 20th century, what I see is three entities clinging to vestiges of Roman imperialism and, you know, some of the philosophy like that. If you look at the Russian term czar is even spelled C-Z-A-R, Caesar, so Caesar, and as in Roman Caesar. And in Germany, the word Kaiser is Caesar. In America, we don't have the word, any other word that pertains to that, but the Roman Senate met on Capitoline Hill. The American Senate meets on Capitol Hill, and there are two Roman fasces on either side of the podium in the House of Representatives. So each of these nations, you know, I would suggest partially, you know, aspire to or clinging to vestiges of Roman imperialism. When you bring the Bolshevism in, you've got a whole nother insidious, you know, form of power seeking with Zionism behind it. And then that's another ball of wax. All right, gentlemen, thank you.
Okay, thank you for the call. Any follow-up there, Jeff, before we move on?
Yeah, I would just comment that our Roman symbols have to do with the Roman Republic and freedom and the ideals of freedom which we have from the Roman Republic, which is not from Roman imperialism at all. That we don't have a czar. The Russians and the Germans do borrow from the Roman imperial time, but we borrow from the time before Caesar, before the Julius Caesar. And to our founding fathers, Julius Caesar was the villain who destroyed history. And that's why when you read the Federalist Papers and other patriotic literature, sometimes they address themselves as Brutus. Brutus was the believer in freedom in ancient Rome who participated in killing Caesar. So that's important to understand.
That is an important point. Here's our last caller. We're down to the last 90 seconds or so. Paul in New Jersey. Good morning, Paul.
Hello, gentlemen. You know, Jeff, you're right along there with Al Gore in getting things wrong. You know, about 15 years ago, he said there would be no snow anymore, and the Arctic ice sheets would melt. Here it is. I looked you up on YouTube, and there you are telling a crowd of people that in 5 years, mostly everybody would be dead, and you did that back in about 2011. Saying that we would all die by either a Russian nuclear war. And this is a very Christian thing, where they always think the apocalypse is coming, the apocalypse is coming. And guess what? The apocalypse doesn't come, and everything's just fine.
Okay, Paul, thank you for your call. We'll have Jeff respond. We're almost out of time. Jeff, you got a quick response?
I always had a rule never to make such a prediction, and I guess I got a little ahead of myself
That's dangerous stuff.
That's the only time I make, you know, never make predictions, especially about the future. But, you know, I was pretty upset about Obama being elected, and it looked pretty bleak because he was disarming the U.S.
In 2008, things did look pretty bleak. Jeff, thank you, sir. We'll have you back next week. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that's it for the day, ladies and gentlemen. Get your medical supplies, your energy cleaner, your essential oils now while you can, your firearms, ammunition. Never, ever give up your guns. Please do have a fun, safe, productive day. And God bless America.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited. So take a breath, head to aroutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at aroutfitting.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.